Turn with me this morning. I want to go to James 1 in just in a little bit. Well, that's neat. Flip the Bible open and it's right there. And in the process, LaRue's been speaking recently about living in the place where of faith, but the faith not just of the starting place, but the place of point B. In other words, the ending place. In other words, living out of the place of faith for the end. Because, see, when we begin to live out of faith, place of faith for the end, we begin to look for the result. We begin to have an expectancy of the result. We begin to have a habitation in the place of the result of our faith. So with that being said, I want to just ask, how many people have a promise from God? The reality is every one of us has a promise from God. If you've accepted Christ, you already have promises from God. You have promise of eternal salvation. That's a promise from God. To not burn in the lake of fire is a good thing. That's a promise from God. You have a promise of sanctification because, see, that's what He sent His Holy Spirit to do, was to bring us into a place of sanctification. That's a promise from God. When we begin to allow the heart of God to come forth within us, then there's a promise of God of righteousness, because the promise is that the Father is going to see us through the blood of the Son. That gives us the accounting of righteousness. So even though we might not yet see ourselves as righteous, the Father sees us as righteous because of the blood of Christ. And so now then what we're doing is then we begin to come into alignment with His plan by beginning to see ourselves as the Father sees us. Because if we'll see ourselves in that place, then we'll begin to live up to that place. We'll begin to live up to it. See, that's one of the things that happens within the world of when you're beginning to live out of point B, where you're going to live out of the result of your faith, when you're living out of that place, then it allows you to live up to it, to live into it. As you begin to habitate it, you begin to understand what God is doing in the point B. That means that you can now live out of that righteousness. That means you can now live out of that place of the security of your salvation. That means you can now live out of the place of the security of whatever other promise He has given you. Because, see, the Lord has given us a book of promises. A book that tells us what He's spoken. But He also has given many of us and most of us personal promises. A promise that is something that is so alive in you that it begins to change your very destiny, because, see, it's part of your destiny. Your promise is your destiny. The promise that He has put into your heart is the thing that begins to pull us along into the future. It becomes a place where the God can bring the fullness of His purpose into our heart. And after all, isn't that the nature of revival? We defined revival as the quickening or awakening of God's people to their true nature and purpose. That's definitely living in plan B, and living in the part B, in the second place where your faith goes. So along this nature, one of the promises that God has put in my heart from the very get-go, when I first got saved, He began to awaken me to the purpose of revival. I remember just seeing this vision, one of the very first visions that I ever saw. And in this vision, there was a desert, and in this desert, all of a sudden, there was this almost like an atomic explosion, but instead of devastation, as the cloud began to expand and the rings began to go out, everything that they touched turned to life. Where there was nothing but desert, there became a vibrant, living, lush place of greenery and water and life. That spoke so much to me. so stuck with me the whole of my Christian walk, because I believe that is what we're called to do. That's what we're called to spawn forth, to spring forth from us this living water. Because out of that living water comes the thing that can change and transform our life, change and transform our circumstance. Because God has a place for every one of us to speak and release into someone else something that will begin to awaken them, cause them to have the same joy that you can have, to cause them to have the same understanding that you have, cause them to have the same relationship with God. Why? Because a promise, a relationship with God is part of our promise. It's part of the promise. It's something that we did not have before Christ. We could not have a relationship with the Father in the same way that we do now. So He's causing us to begin to awaken to what He's showing us out of point B. Even before I go to James 1, I just want to remind you that in Ephesians 3:16, that He is going to grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. Because as He does so Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you may be rooted and grounded in love. You may be rooted and grounded in love. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. That's Ephesians 3:16. That Christ may dwell in your hearts and you'll be rooted and grounded in love. The point and purpose of this is because this is the thing that begins the place of transformation for us. It's one of the promises that we receive. It's not something that we have to earn. It's not something that we have to do something to do. It's something that He decided a long time ago to give to us. A grant is a gift. A grant is something that you don't have to pay back. It's something that you don't have to earn. Because, He decided a long time ago that one of the things that I want to do is I want to give them my dunamis strength, my power, to walk in the fullness of who I've called them to be. When you begin to understand the Christ dwelling in us by faith, the indwelling Christ, the indwelling anointing that's in you. Because Christ, when He refers to Christ, He's not just referring to the person of Jesus. He's referring to the anointing that comes with it. Christ is the anointed one and His anointing. It's not just the last name. It's the anointed one and the anointing. And so that anointing that comes with Him comes inside of you. That's what He's expressing. That anointing that comes inside of you now begins to dwell in you by faith because you choose to believe it, because you choose to walk in it. Now it can come to fruition. And that's going to bring with it a rooting and grounding in the love of God. Why? Because God is love. Because He is love, there's going to be a rooting and grounding in this love because Christ is now dwelling in our heart. And as Christ dwells in our heart, this rooting and grounding in the love of God begins to bring forth a new result in our action. When we begin to be moving out of intention instead of just reaction. You see, love is never going to fail. Love will begin to cause you to walk in a brand new way. Love will cause you to begin to look at the circumstance and situation around you in a different way, to respond in a different mode. And as you do so, it begins to call forth other things around you. Don't look at your spouse, but how many people have ever known somebody who was very acidic and hard to get along with? See, if that person was often looked and walking in love, how much different would your response be? And see, it's easier for us to see that in someone else than it is for ourselves. But we can take the same examination and look at ourselves and say, now if I'm walking in love, how are others going to respond to me? James 1 and 22, very familiar scripture. It says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves or deceive themselves. For when anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. First, I want to bring to you, to your attention, that the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, the King James Version actually says, who continues in it. Looking at the word and continuing to look at this word. Continuing to look at the word. In other words, looking at the word. Looking at the word of what? Well, basically what is he referring to is looking at Christ. But he's also, by a reference of looking at Christ, he's referring to you to looking at the promise. Because what? Christ is the promise. Christ is part of the promise that you have. Christ is part of the promise that you have. That was very specifically what he was referring to you, but he's also referring you to look at the word of promise that he's given to you. Because when we'll begin to habitate the word of promise, now there's a blessing that is attached to that. One of the blessings that is attached to that is that faith becomes effectual. Faith becomes effectual. Why? Because Philemon 6 tells us that faith is made effective by the acknowledging of Christ Jesus in us. The acknowledging of everything that is good in Christ Jesus in us. Or in us in Christ Jesus, that's right. Acknowledging of everything that's good in us in Christ Jesus. Because what we're doing is, so faith is made effective, is what the point is. Faith is made effective by the acknowledging of the Word, acknowledging of God. Basically, that's one of the blessings that begins to happen, is that your faith is made effective in this moment. When we look here at this set of verses, what we see is a doer is one who comes to the completion of the word. When you're a doer of the word, you're one who comes into completion. If I get a word saying that if I get a word saying I won't be the next president of the United States, then when I come into completion, I am the president of the United States. If I get a word, whatever the word says, if the word says, like in my case, you know, many times for quite a season, I received multiple words that I would become a pastor. Well, that change has happened. That word has come to completion. That doesn't mean that I'm complete in everything that I can ever do as a pastor, but that means that I am already doing that, and it means that I'm already in the process of working through that. God is saying, if you want to become a doer of the word, as you become a doer of the word, you'll become one who walks in the fullness of the promise that he's given to you. Many years ago, I was at a place where I didn't know that word hadn't come to pass. I didn't know what was going to happen, and I just was. There were a lot of tensions, a lot of things that were going on, and a lot of indecision. And so, Lord, I just said, Lord, I don't know what else to do. So I'm going to open my Bible, and I'm going to flip it open, and whatever my finger lands on, that's your word for me. I don't recommend that as a way to do it. But it flipped open to Luke 19, and my finger fell underneath the verse that says, and he stood in the temple daily teaching. I said, okay, I got it. See, that word has come to pass. That word has come to pass. Because I did not know how to get there. I did not know how anything else. But I said, this, whatever you're going to speak here, whatever that's going to be just above my finger, that's going to be your word. It's come to pass. That's becoming a doer of the word. Becoming a doer of the word means that we begin to act and look like the word that we have received. Whether that word is out of the Bible or the word is out of the rhema of God, out of his spoken thing that he's spoken within your heart, then when we become a doer, we become effective at this place. The other thing is that it begins to release faith for the next thing. Faith for the next part in the next process, the next part of the process. And it allows us to live in that place of walking in the faith, because why? We've already seen God respond and do part of what He's excited He was going to do. When we see that, then we can begin to have faith and live in the place of point B in our faith. The result or the end of our faith. The thing that we're looking for. Because as you begin to habitate the thing that you're looking for, now you can begin to live and look at the world around you out of the place of completion. Seeing the end from the beginning. But not just seeing the end from the beginning, but beginning to have a faith to live in the end from the beginning. The difference is when you begin to look and have an expectation for what God is doing at the end, now then all the pressure, all the assignment that's at the beginning, all the circumstance that stands against you at the beginning, it doesn't habitate it at the end. If I'm standing at the beginning and I'm trying to believe for the end, if I'm standing at the moment of the first that I first received the word, and I'm trying to believe that, you know, one of these days I'm going to be a pastor and I'll be standing in the temple daily teaching. If I'm trying to believe for it at the beginning, I haven't come into the realization or the presence of it. But if I begin to look at it from the place of now that I've already done it, I can have every bit of faith that it's going to be accomplished. And the doubt, the things that tried to, the fears, the things that tried to affect me and affect my understanding of the world around me at that moment can't have any place here because they've already been superseded. It's already been replaced. Hallelujah. What he's talking about here in this passage. See, when anyone's a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. When you're looking at your natural face in the mirror, what are you looking at? You're looking at the circumstance. You're looking at the circumstance that's around you. And that circumstance that's around you then has to begin to, well, it will have certain input that it tries to give you. That input isn't valid for where you're going. When you're standing in the place of it's already done, the input that you give, that you get from that place, is how you got here and how it's already bordered and hedged around. It's already safe. It's already secure because it's already accomplished. Hallelujah. When this last week we went, I went to Alaska. One of the wonders of Alaska is the salmon. I mean, there's so many natural, beautiful resources there. It's an incredibly wonderful thing to go see. But when in the process here, we also had the opportunity to go up to the falls where the salmon actually jump and go up the river. They go up the river all the way from the sea. They come in from the sea and they go up the river all the way up to these falls, go up the falls, and eventually get to a lake. The headwater. The place where they originated from. The place where the water is first collected. It's a process that speaks tremendous drive and determination. It's a process that they were created for. Their very DNA tells them what it is that they do. The very nature of where they respond tells them where they got to return back to. See, that's the same thing that's within each of us. Because we within each of us, when we're in a faith project, when we're in a faith project, we have to look and know where we're going, even though we haven't necessarily been there yet. We have to have that same determination, because they have a determination for their destination. Nothing is going to stand in their way. When we have a determination for our destination, then we can begin to do like they do, which is against all odds, they succeed. The interesting thing is that they can put, they've tested these salmon. And they only respond to the glacier waters. There are rivers, there are different rivers within Alaska. Not all of them are glacier water. Salmon don't go in the ones that aren't glacier water. They will go to the glacier water. But not only do they go to the glacier water, but they'll actually go to the water that they came from. When they tested them, they were putting just drops of water directly on their brain. The fish, when they used the water that came from the place that they came from, the fish responded. Because that is built into their DNA of who they are. There's a tremendous thing about this whole process, because see, when they're out in the Gulf, or they're out in that little bay area, they actually just swim in a circle in the bay, waiting until it's their time. They don't go just willy-nilly up just because they arrived at the bay. They don't go directly up. They form little packs within and just circulate in the Gulf or in the bay. And then when the tide is right, why? When it's low tide and coming back to a high tide. Why? Because that makes it easier for their transition. When that tide is coming up, why, then that slows the river down incrementally, but some. And it makes their progress easier. That's one of the things that I learned, that a lot of times that the guides are telling you, they're telling you a block of time to come, you know, and you go with the guide on a fishing guide, and they're just telling you a block of time. Well, if that block of time doesn't include the tide being in the right direction, you're paying for nothing, because that's not where the fish are going to be there. Not in the same numbers that they are when the tide is correct. So what can we learn from these things? Number one, if we look at that tide being in the right moment, that's like the dunamis of God. It's already easing our progression. It's because they don't move until the dunamis of God is there to go with them. When the dunamis of God is there to go with us, what is that? That's the empowerment within. It's the power of God within our spirit to accomplish that which God has already ordained. God's not going to give you an assignment unless He's giving you the authority to overcome the obstacles. When He gives you an assignment, when He gives you a word, He's given you with you that word also the power and authority to overcome every obstacle that stands in the way. He just asks and expects. He asks and expects for us to have the faith to stand in agreement with Him on that. So when we have this going on, then there's a destination being released. These salmon, they know that they're headed up to the headwaters. They know they're coming back to the place they were created to go. When, in the same way that we can have faith that whatever it is that the promise of God has been given to us, we can have faith that this is where God created us to go. This is the destination that He's assigned. And as because He's assigned us this destination, that no obstacle that the enemy has been placed in our way is going to be able to stop us. That no matter how tough it is, because you can you imagine the physical strength that it requires for these fish to go upstream the whole way. I mean, we're talking like 14 miles of river. upstream against a current that if you put a net in the current, it tries to sweep it out of your hands. And a net's just nothing but, you know, a bag with holes. Lots of holes. And yet it'll almost rip it out of your hands. That's the kind of current that they face going all the way for those 14 miles. And then when they get to the end of the 14 miles, then they have to go up these falls, which are basically like ladders to get them elevated enough to get up as high as the lake is, which I don't know how many feet it has to go up. But this in the one section that I was looking at, in that one section, those falls were probably 30 or 40 feet. Which means that they have these little, you know, boulder sets that are, you know, 2, 3, 4 feet apart to jump up. It's amazing. Can you imagine the sheer determination? That's the sheer determination he's looking for from us. That no matter what happens, because a lot of times the fish will jump and they won't make it. And then the fish will jump and he won't make it. And then all of a sudden he jumps and he clears it. Or he gets just over the top and he wiggles himself past it. Those are the ones you can see most of the time, because the rest of them, if they jumped and they made it totally, they're so quick that you didn't get much of a chance to look. But if they jumped and they got just on the edge and wiggled themselves over, then you could watch that process a little bit. What God is looking for is for us to have that same effort, that same thought, that same ability, that same determination to make it to the place of, through the place that faith said we can go. Along the way, one of the first things that happens is there's guys that are called set netters, and they stand there just in the mouth of the river with these long nets. You know, when the fish are going, the much of the river gets caught, it just has nets across it. They're good at their job. They get a lot. That's kind of like the snare of the enemy. The enemy is looking to snare you up. He's looking to create a snare that causes you to not get to the destination. And sometimes that snare can just look like pride. Sometimes it can look like a lot of things. But it doesn't matter what it looks like, is we have to recognize it for what it is. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Shouldn't be too far back. We'll go to chapter 2. Now, verse 22 here in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. And the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. They may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Several things that are being mentioned here. Number one, seeking God out of a pure heart. This is probably the number one factor right there. When we allow the purity of heart to be our goal. A purity of heart, because see, a pure heart will always respond to what God is doing. A pure heart will always take that response and look to be wherever God said to be, to do whatever God said to do. The pure heart will always look to do the right thing in the situation. The pure heart will be motivated by faith, will be motivated by love, be motivated by peace. You know, we're not to involve ourselves in the quarrels that can happen, the contentions that can happen from sometimes people want to take the word and they want to twist it and they want to do different things with it, and then they want to make you feel and look the same way, in the same way that they do. Don't do that. Because it's not the place of faith. When they're doing this, when they're creating quarrels over a point of the law, then they're creating dissensions. So he says, don't involve yourself with these things. Speak and be ready to teach. Be ready and be gentle in your approach. It's not up to you to change everybody's opinion. It's up to you to present them with truth. You present them with truth, and then you give them an opportunity, but you don't get into a contention about it. I see so many times that people, when they begin to talk politics or religion, see, all they do is begin to argue. Well, that argument in itself is not something that's healthy. The better approach is you release truth and you give them an opportunity to respond. If they don't respond, that's not your business. If they do respond, then now you've won them over with truth. But our job is to look for truth and release truth, not get caught up in the snare of the enemy, because see, the enemy will put someone in front of you. If you're prone to those things, the enemy will put someone in front of you who will make sure to bring it to you. The snare of the enemy will draw you up into some little facet of the word that's not even truth. I've heard people come and tell me all kinds of things, and you know, and it's so far from what the Bible actually says, but they are convinced. That's the snare of the enemy being enacted. When we get convinced of something that's not actually in the word, then we're operating according to the snare of the enemy. And what that does is it will remove us from the place of faith. So what we're being encouraged to do is look for faith in the place of peace. Look for faith in the place of love. Look for faith in the place that God has created out of the purity of our heart. When our heart remains pure, that means it's going to be teachable. When our heart remains pure, that means that we're going to be easily allow the place of God to come into our life. When we operate in faith, when we look to the place of faith, when we have a destiny in faith, when we're beginning to allow ourselves to live in the place of that destiny, because we're beginning to think as if we're already there in that place of faith. Whatever that promise is, I've been held captive to. When we begin to look and dwell in the point B, the place of the result of faith, when we begin to dwell there, then it affects how we respond to the issues of today. When I got married, the thing that I knew was that I wanted to grow old with Kim. See, that's a place of faith. And because I began to allow myself to see the world around me from that place, that meant all the other things that came up along the way were contentions and strife and might have been, I didn't have to live in that place. And what that meant was then I was able to look past the circumstance of today to the result. I was looking and expecting tomorrow. That changes how we do today. That changes how we interact today. Because see, if I'm looking to grow old with Kim, now then the things that happened today that might have been just totally blowing everything out of the water, suddenly don't look so big and significant because I'm not living here, I'm living there. I'm looking for the result. And because I live in that place of the result, now the little things become what they are, little things, instead of a big, huge blow-up. I can relook at them and realize it's no big deal. It's the same way with our faith. When we look and we live out of the place of the end of our faith, we allow ourselves to get there much quicker. Not being persuaded by the circumstance in the same way that we would have been before. As we look at the salmon and we see them jumping, one of the other things that would happen is that there would be little pools right there because when a waterfall comes, it forms little pools as well. So there'll be pools where they would actually rest. It would be one of the few places in the river that they could actually rest was in the pool beneath one of the falls. And so you would see them all queued up in the little pools that are along the way right there at the waterfall. That's to me a picture of entering into the Sabbath rest. Hebrews 4:11 tells us to strive to enter into the rest. Well, all the striving that they do, that's a great picture of it, because all the striving they do to get to that point, now they enter into the rest, that assurance that God's got this, that assurance that God's seeing it, and he's because when we live in the place of assurance, even though we've been striving to do what we need to do, we to get upstream, to get to the place of our faith being activated, when we get to that place and that point, we can look and live in that place of rest, knowing that it's in his hands. Because he sees it, it's got his attention. Because he sees it, we've got his attention. Because we can live in the place of the Sabbath rest, knowing that it's not just about what we do, but it's also what God is doing. We're just coming into agreement with what he already said. When he gives you a word, that's his agreement. And all he's looking for you is to be in agreement with what he said. When he gives you his word, he's telling you what he's looking for, what his expectation is. We're coming into agreement with it. And there's a rest that happens because when we recognize that we don't have to be the one responsible to make this happen, we are responsible to walk with him in it. We exercise faith. When we exercise faith, exercising the point B faith, we're exercising, we're walking in the rest. We're no longer being affected in the same way that we would at the initial start, point A. Because, why? Because in this place, our mind and our thought are about this is already being accomplished. It's already been set up for us. Whatever has our attention, whatever has our focus, that's what shows up in our life. Whatever's got your attention, that's what's going to show up. God's going to, when he's got your attention and he's got your focus, then that focus is going to have a result in your life. That's the thing that is so remarkable about what these salmon are able to do. They're focused on one thing, and that's getting upstream. They're focused on going back to where they originated, back to where they came from. For us to go back to where we originated from is to become to look like Christ. For us to come back to where we go is to look like the promise that God has given us. That's a return to our headwater. Returning to the place that God originated for us. What he created for us. There's something he can do that's so powerful in your life. When you demonstrate faith, not just demonstrate faith, actually faith is being demonstrated in you. It becomes a place where you're able to change other lives. Simply because it's right there. Simply because it's right where God has already put you. Simply because you're already looking to and having an expectation for that word that he gave you to come to pass. Back in James 1, verse 25, it says, but he who looks at the law of liberty. The word liberty, that means freedom from the yoke of oppression. Liberty is a freedom from the yoke of oppression. It was freedom for these guys. It was freedom from the Mosaic law. It was freedom from the law of sin and death. We have freedom from the law of sin and death. It's also freedom from our circumstance. It's freedom from sinful appetites. It's freedom from all those things that would otherwise try to oppress us. Why? Because God's already given us the way out. He's given us the place of faith to respond to walk into. This word liberty, a synonym for that word, is the word for citizenship. Because see, a citizen, you are citizens. You're citizens of heaven. A citizen is one who's free. In the Roman culture of that day, there were many people, but the citizen, only a citizen could truly be free. He's declaring citizenship. Citizenship in heaven. The very core of who you are is a citizen of heaven, because that's the nature of who He's created us to be. And so this liberty, the place of liberty, comes from recognizing, looking to, and continuing to look at the freedom that we have, continuing to look at the promise that we have. When we look at the promise, we can live in the freedom of it. And we can live free of the oppression of the current circumstance because we have the promise in front of us. And in all this, He's going to release a blessing upon our life. He releases a blessing upon our life. In all this, He releases who He is, both in us and in through us. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 3. We're going to dwell. Verse 17 now says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Verse 17. Verse 18. And we with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. It's the same thing as what we were just doing in James. Beholding as in a mirror. The glory of the Lord being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Lord, the Spirit. We're being transformed into the glory of the Lord. Why? Because we're looking at the glory of the Lord. When you're looking at your promise, you're looking at the glory of the Lord, you're looking at your promise. When you're looking at the promise, there's a transformation that happens into that promise. When you look at the glory of the Lord, you're being transformed into that image. There's a metamorphosis that happens because we're looking at the thing that we're striving for. There's a lot of people who try to find healing by looking at the problem. But you're not going to find it by looking at the problem. You have to look at the answer. When we're looking, we stand in faith. When we stand in the place of trusting that what God has said, when we're trusting His Word, we're looking at the answer. We're focused on the answer. And because we're focused on the answer is the thing that begins to show up. Because we're focused on the answer, because all that we see is the answer to the problem. We're not seeing the problem anymore because we're looking at the expected result, the desired result. Then the desired result is what shows up in our life. Looking into point B. Living in point B. Letting your emotions be saturated by the promise. Letting your heart be held by the promise results in faith being seen, faith being realized, being made manifest in your life. God has a promise for you. He has a destiny for each of you. He has a destiny in each one of us. And as we allow Him to speak into our life, as we allow him to saturate our thought with what is it, what would it look like if I was just there? When he gave me that word out of Luke 19, that gave me the image. See, all I began to do then is just focus in. He stands in the temple daily teaching. When I'd have a moment, I'd say, Lord, what does that look like to stand in the temple daily teaching? What does that feel like to stand in the temple daily teaching? How does that begin to affect my life? How does that begin to affect others around me if I'm standing in the temple daily teaching? I began to live in the place of what was being spoken. As I did, the transformation happened in my heart. Those things became a desire of my heart. Those things became a realization of what God was taking us to. The process is probably not complete yet, but the process is well on its way. Because I believe there's more that's going to be revealed in that. But I can tell you for sure that it's worth the journey. It's worth the journey. The place of the journey of seeing faith being realized. Having a determination for your destination. Having a determination that won't be swayed from in any way to get to the place where you're back at the headwater. You're back at the place of the realization of what God has called you to do. I think you're going to find it more fulfilling than anything else you can do. As I shared before, there were a whole lot of things that I had on my scope of things that I thought I would be doing. This wasn't one of them. But this is more fulfilling than anything else that I could have ever done. Everything else would have come up empty. God knew what would fulfill. He knew what would bring his ultimate pleasure. And I can stand here in the assurance that his pleasure is something that is very real, very tangible, very attainable. Amen.